Turn up in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to begin a teaching on Galatians, and we'll be going through the book of Galatians like we did the books of Corinthians. Excuse me. Amen. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, should I not be the servant of Christ? But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by the revelation, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversion in the time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond the measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was known by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which had persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Amen. You may be seated. I want to start by saying there's a few verses of this particular chapter that we actually covered in another service, actually recent, where Paul was talking about them being turned into another gospel, and we covered that, so I don't want to actually dwell on that part tonight. That's not what actually has really stood out to me from this chapter. But the thing that was really standing out to me from this chapter is that Paul, we know that Paul was the prophet messenger to the first church age. And so Paul was, you know, he's called an apostle, but Paul was more than an apostle. We know apostles a missionary, but Paul was more than just an apostle. Paul was the prophet to the first church age, and that's very significant. And as you see that Paul is pointing out that the revelation that he had, he didn't get it from man. Paul didn't say, well, let me go up there and get with the disciples and those that were apostles before me and find out what all they got to say about this, you know. But Paul was going to be the messenger to the first age. And so the revelation of the word, him being the prophet, the word always comes to the prophet. Now, the thing is, Paul was very well versed and trained in the scriptures. He had been taught by one of the greatest teachers of the scriptures in the Jewish religion, and that was Gamaliel. And so Paul, he knew the Old Testament. You know, of course it wasn't called the Old Testament at that time, but Paul knew that. Paul was very well versed in the scriptures. He knew it. Paul was very well versed in the laws. He was he said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was he knew the ins and outs of all of it in that. But then you know, when God came to reveal himself to Paul, then we find that what he did was he revealed himself to Paul through the same agency that he had used, that Paul would recognize and know from back in the time of the scriptures of the old, when he came in a great light, a pillar of fire, and appeared to Paul. And so Paul, he recognized this immediately. This was God. He knew this was God, you know. And so Paul says, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." So then Paul is faced with all these things that he noted. And remember, Paul said, he said, "I had to forget all those things that I thought I knew and had learned." Because God was going to reveal himself not just the he knew God as Jehovah of the old. But what he needed to realize was that the Jehovah of the old was Jesus of the new. The word had been made flesh. And God was going to reveal this to Paul, him being the prophet messenger to the first age. And I want you to realize this. We realize that the bride of Jesus Christ is a Gentile bride. And this bride is made up of all the believers from all of the seven church ages. It's, Brother Branham called it the whole rapture. He called it the entire bride. Excuse me. And so it was important that Paul be able to stand there and say, "This is what I received from the Lord." Remember, even when we read it in Corinthians and we taught about it when we had taught on the communion, that how that Paul was talking about the communion and how that Christ had said, this is my body, eat this cup of this wine, this is the blood, the New Testament blood, do these things in remembrance of me and all that. But Paul didn't go up and confer with Peter and the ones that were there at the Last Supper when Jesus was doing this and say, "So how did that happen, guys?" No, Paul said, "The Lord showed him this." This isn't what Peter told him. It's not what John or James or any of the rest of them told him. The Lord told him, showed him, evidently by vision, this is what happened. Because Paul actually says, he really breaks it down, and he says this, "For I have received of the Lord that which I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when given thanks he break it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This is my, do in remembrance of me. At the same manner he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this is the cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink in remembrance of me." Paul was given a description. This is what happened play by play. Paul saw it. It was revealed to him by God. So Paul, it was important for Paul to be that messenger to the first church age, to not approach the calling of the bride from that first church age of, "This is what I heard from Peter. It was nothing against Peter. It was nothing against the other apostles. But Paul, being the prophet of that first church age, it was important that he be able to say, I didn't get this from man. You know, Paul had already been taught by man. He had already been schooled by man. And the thing about it is, all Paul had was the letter. And what did the letter lead him to do? The letter led him to actually persecute the very ones that actually were serving God. But when Paul met that great light there on the road to Damascus, when he met that great light, something changed in Paul. What happened was it left from just being the letter of what he learned, and it came down to an experience. Something was quickened in Paul. And so now Paul's faced with all these things that he had been taught and learned. You know, and Brother Branham said he was taught by a great teacher, and he says, but the problem with these teachers is, he says, they're carnal. And he says, even the men of the day, preachers of today, that's taught in these seminaries and by these great schools and great teachers and all that, he says, the thing is, they're taught by men. They're taught the creeds of men. They're taught the doctrines of organizations. And that's what Paul had been taught. Friends, look, the Jewish religion was the organization of that day. And that's what Paul had been under. So Paul said, immediately, I didn't confer with anyone else. He said, I went out and spent 3 years in Arabia by myself. Brother Adam said, Paul went out there and said, Paul took the scripture and he began to go back over all the scriptures that he thought he knew. He began to search back over it, he says, until God revealed to him that here is all these things that the Old Testament, what you knew of in the Old Testament, it was all pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ. Till it was made a reality to Paul. Brother Ram said, look, when he saw that great light, he said, no one else saw it. But it was such a reality to Paul, he said, that Paul was blind and couldn't see for several days. It was designated for him to see it. Brother Ram says here in, let me see, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So he goes 3 years down to Arabia and he begins to study back over the scriptures. And it wasn't just, he already knew the scriptures. But Brother Ram said, look, knowing the scriptures is not enough. He says the scripture has got to be inspired to you. Look, friends, you go out here sometimes and if you try to debate something from the Word with one of these great guys out here in the denominations or something like that, sometimes, I'll tell you what, friends, they know what they believe. They know it inside and out. And they know the scriptures that they latch onto to prove what they believe. But the thing about it is, there's no life to it because it's not been quickened by the Spirit. So what do they produce? That's why you look at these denominational believers, friends, look, there's nothing to hold them. They have no life. They can be good moral people. Maybe they say, well, I live a good moral life. But they'll turn right around and compromise and deny the Word of God every time. They'll, as we said, I believe on Sunday, they'll actually crucify the Word of God. They'll make it of none effect to the people. Right, right. You look at many of the denominations, and look where they started at, many of them with their holiness living, and then look where they're at today. Different generations have come up. They wanted to live a little bit different, do certain things, and still be called Christians. So they come up with ways to explain these things to where, we don't have to do that anymore. That's really not what that meant. But Paul went for 3 years, and he studied, and God revealed it to him. And when he came back then, he was preaching the same thing that Peter was preaching. He was preaching the same thing that the other. Look, you take it, the things that Peter wrote, the things that John wrote, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the rest of them, Jude, take all the things they wrote, then take all the letters that Paul wrote, and you're not going to find any contradiction. But that's not because they all got together and said, hey, let's make sure we're on the same page here. No, it's because they all got inspired by the same Spirit of God. It was the same Spirit speaking through every one of them. Brother Branham said in Voice of the Sign, he said, Paul had a sign. And he's talking about when he saw the great light. He says, what kind of a sign do you see? A pillar of fire on his road to Damascus, a great light. He said, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. What did Paul have that the rest of them didn't have? He had the abundance of the revelation of the Word of God. Because it was Paul that recognized that Jesus of the New Testament was Jehovah of the Old, and Paul took that to the Gentile church. He wrote it as it was revealed because God permitted it to be added to the Bible. The word come only to the Bible by the prophet. So then God revealed to Paul, he wrote the letters inspired, and God put them in the Bible. Oh my, revealed that he is Christ of the Old Testament because he met him. The pillar of fire, the one that led the people out of Egypt, and here that was the one that had been with the Hebrews all through the age, and here he is, he's seen him, and he's seen that this one that led his people that Moses met, the I Am, ever present, same yesterday, today, and forever, was manifested in flesh. It was his revelation. He had it above any of the rest of them. And until he said, there was given me a thorn in the flesh to buffet me, lest I get lifted up in the abundance of the revelation. He said his revelation then was prophecy for the day. It was the voice coming forth, wrote in the Bible to be vindicated today again. It's the voice being vindicated again, what he wrote, because he's God's prophet, revealing the sign was speaking something. Now, Jesus says this in Matthew 10:41. He said, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Of course, Brother Branham was asked this question about this scripture questions and answers in one place, and Brother Branham said, well, it's to be a friend of the prophet. But he gets more into it here if you look into the church age book. And Brother Branham says this, he says, thank God at this moment this age is not over. He's yet crying. His cry is not only in the spiritual ears of men by spirit, but once again a prophet is in the land. Once more God will reveal the truth as he did to Paul. In the days of the seventh messenger, in the days of the Laodicean age, its messenger will reveal the mysteries of God as revealed to Paul. He will speak out, and those who receive that prophet in his own name will receive the benefit effect of that prophet's ministry. Those who receive that prophet will receive the benefit effect of the prophet's ministry. Now, What is the benefit effect of the prophet's ministry? He goes on, he says, they will be blessed and become part of the bride in the last day that's mentioned in Revelations 22 and 17, where it says the Spirit and the bride say, come. Amen. Now, what really stood out to me in this chapter was that Paul being the messenger to that first age, it was important for him to express to the people, I didn't get this from somebody else just telling me. I received this from the Lord. And it established that Paul was that messenger to the first age. And Paul actually says in one place, he says that when he went back up to Jerusalem, then they accepted that he was the messenger or the one sent to the Gentiles, and the word of God was given to him for the Gentiles as it had been given to Peter for the Jews. And so then you look then at this end time, this last age then. Now, there were reformers that came. Martin Luther was a reformer. John Wesley was a reformer. But there had to come a prophet again by the promise of the scripture and the prophecy of the scripture. There had to come a prophet again in the last age, because the word had to be restored to God's people. Look, Martin Luther, he broke off and came out of the Catholic Church. But when they came out, friends, they were still baptizing in titles. Some of the word, the revelation of the word had been lost. And why was it lost? It was lost because of the scriptural teachings of carnal men. Men of organizations. So we had to have a prophet in this last age that he didn't get this from some other man. He had to be revealed to him. He had to be able to say, this I received of the Lord, and I have delivered it unto you. It took a prophet again. And so then you find that here he is, he's pointing out, and this wasn't Brother Branham trying to lift up himself or point to himself, but he was pointing to people, hey, look, listen, it has to be a prophet again in this last age. To reveal the mysteries of God, just like it had been revealed to Paul. He had to meet God face to face, just like Paul did. Now, the benefit of the prophet's ministry to you and I, we receive that message from the prophet, the word of God. And we then, we are part of the bride. But the benefit doesn't just stop there. Listen, Brother Branham says in Christ the Mystery God Revealed, he says, God had a threefold purpose. First, it was to reveal himself, God in Christ. He said the second was to reveal himself in his bride, to make the word and the voice of God would be in the bride. Now, you'll find people around the message that they identify that as being then, oh, well, that was Brother Branham. No, he was the prophet messenger that brought the revelation of the word to the bride, but it wasn't supposed to stop there. Brother Ram says, I've come to my ministry has come to introduce Jesus Christ again to the people. He says, and once I've done that, then just like John the Baptist said, then I must decrease so he can increase. So what did he do? God took the prophet off the scene, but the voice didn't leave. The voice is still here. And I'm not talking, listen, friends, I know we need the tapes or CDs or whatever it is you listen to them on, MP3s or whatever, and we need to hear the voice, we need to hear the message of the hour through the prophet and that, but it's not so we can pack this around and say, this is what I've got, you know, God sent a prophet and all that. It's so that that voice and word can come and live through you. God's purpose wasn't just for it to be in the prophet and stop at the prophet. It was for it to come down and actually be in and work through the bride. Brother Branham says, the spirit and the bride say, come. The corn of wheat, the bride wheat, that fell in the ground at Nicaea has come back in the original word grain again. Listen to the authenticated prophet of God who appears in this last age. What he says from God, the bride will say. The spirit and the prophet and the bride will be saying the same thing. Just because Brother Branham's took off the scene doesn't mean the voice of God has left. And I'm telling you, friends, we needed to have the messages that he preached recorded so that we could, so that the different generations that would come after that could hear that voice and come to that and hear it. But that's not where the voice has stopped. The voice is in the bride today. It's the bride that's saying. It's the bride that's speaking. Brother Manning, she said, the final voice in the final age would be the bride. Yes, right. Brother Manning says, a little further on in the church age book, the Laodicean church age, he says, the church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It's its own mouthpiece. So God is turning on her. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride. The voice of God will be in her. This is why it has so much meaning to me. Paul is saying, I didn't receive this of man. I got this from God. The prophet in this age, he didn't receive it from men. This isn't something he received through, and you look at it, friends, look, Brother Branham was not even an educated man. He many times he expresses how he was not very educated. He never possessed any kind of credentials of any organization or denomination. Now, Brother Branham speaks of one time, I think it was 1963, he speaks about a great prominent man that was in the organization that of Pentecost that came to him. And he's told Brother Branham, he was sitting there eating with him, and he said, I want to shake your hand. And he says, listen, you see my wife sitting here by me? He said, look, we were in your meeting, said she had cancer, had sunk something in on her back, and it was affecting her spine. He said, but you saw a vision. And you said, thus saith the Lord, she was healed. He said, and God healed her. And here she's sitting here today healed. He said, it's proof that you are God's servant. It's proof you're God's prophet. And he said, look, but you know, you're wasting your ministry out here on these little nobodies. And he said, you're wasting your ministry out here on the little down and outs. You need to come on the up and outs. And he said, if he says, I have got men backing me in the organization. We're ready to extend to you the right hand of fellowship and welcome you into our organization. And we'll give you $500 a week. And we'll fly you around on a plane anywhere you need to go to have meetings and that. Brother Bam said, he said, I could see this was the devil beginning to talk. He said, it began to sound like the devil had took Jesus up on top of the temple and said, let me show you all the kingdoms of the world. They belong to me. And so he said, I just thought, well, I'll just let him talk. And he said, finally, the man said, but there's just one little thing. And Brother Branham said, what's that? He said, well, you're going to have to back down on some of these little petty things that you teach. And Brother Branham said, like, what would that be? He said, well, you know, like baptism in the name of Jesus. And this thing about women preachers. And this thing about speaking in tongues. He said, you know, just little things. And Brother Branham said, he said, I'm surprised at you. He said, this man, and Brother Branham said, this man, the thing, he showed by what he was saying, he didn't even know the scripture. He said, I said, I'm surprised at you, you claiming to be a servant of God, and you are, and in saying, in the first starting out saying that you believe I'm a prophet. He says, and then you should know that the word of God, the revelation of the word, comes to the prophet. And he says, and you're asking me to compromise on the word of God. He said, I would die for it. I'll never compromise on it. So many times, Brother Branham was made all these different offers. Given great big large checks wrote out to him by great men in that. And Brother Branham would say, no. Right. Why? He said, because there ain't going to be no strings attached to this. Right. I'm not coming under any organization or any man. He didn't receive this of man. He didn't receive it from the organization. Yeah, Brother Branham, he started out, he was in the Baptist church. And his pastor was Dr. Davis. But look what happened. It wasn't anything he received from Dr. Davis. The angel of the Lord came and appeared to him, so Brother Branham went and talked to Dr. Davis about it, and he told him, oh, that's an evil spirit. That's wrong. Get away from that. What did all that do? It just moved Brother Branham away from the organization. See, at that time, it hadn't all been revealed to Brother Branham at that time. It started out with the angel coming up here to him and saying, you know, you're going to have a ministry. You're going to pray for kings and rulers and things, and you know, if you can get the people to believe you, nothing will stand before you, not even cancer. God wants to have preeminence in his bride, friends. First was to reveal himself, God in Christ. Secondly, was to have preeminence in his bride. The third thing, we're waiting for the third thing, Brother Adam said, in the threefold purpose is to restore the kingdom. But friends, I'm going to tell you something. This whole plan, all of it, is about you. Look, you look back in the Old Testament, look at God showing Moses, you know, build this and do this and set up the tabernacle this way and make the Ark of the Covenant this way and make it out of these materials and have these rings and these curtains and all these things and all that whatever. Look, that wasn't God pointing at Moses. He used Moses. Moses was the prophet, the man of God to that day, but that wasn't God. That wasn't God's purpose, was just to show himself through Moses. All of this was pointing at the coming of Christ. And I'm telling you something, friends. There's only one reason that God had purpose to come down into humanity and become a human, and that was so that he could save his children. You are the most important thing to God. Look at that tabernacle, how great it was, the tabernacle in the wilderness. Look how great the temple that Solomon built, how great it was and everything. None of that exists today. No one knows what became of the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because those were all shadows and types pointing at something greater. Those things within themselves, that wasn't important to God. What was important was what they were all pointing to. It was important for God to send a prophet to the first age. But he didn't send it just so he could have a prophet in the first age. He sent it to begin to call that Gentile bride. It was important that God send the prophet in the last age, at the end of it. But the reason it was important was so that the word could call the rest of the bride. Because what had happened to the bride? What had happened to the people of God? They had got swallowed up in the shuck. They had got swallowed up in the organizations. But the seed is not air with the shuck. And so it was God wanting to pull the seed, pull back that shuck to deliver the seed out of it. The important thing to God is you. And just as the word was in Christ, just as the word was in the prophet, just as the word was in Paul, the word's in you. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that they were singing that song, Lord, before I came out. Lord, you didn't have to open our eyes. You could have easily passed us by, for the age we were living in was wretched, poor, and blind. But God, you sent the word to us, and we heard the word. There's been many, Father, that has heard the message of the end time that was delivered by the prophet, that, Lord, it didn't have an effect on them. It wasn't inspired to them. We've had many, Lord, that have camped up around it and make believe that they were believers and projected themselves as being believers of the message, Lord. But we're seeing in these last days, Lord, that it's actually the identifying time. It's identification time. And Lord, they begin to show their real colors, just like Judas eventually did. And at the same time, the real children of God, the bride of Jesus Christ, her identification has been shown because that word has become so real and alive in her, dear God, that there is nothing can shake her. But Brother Branham said, Paul, he went and spent 3 years in Arabia, and when he came back out of there after studying, he knew he was going to face Pharisees. He knew he was going to face many opposition, but there was nothing then could shake him because it had been revealed to him. And we know in this time, Lord, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But this bride cannot be shaken. Thank you for your word to us, Lord. Thank you for the life of God in us. Bless your people tonight, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Sing that song. So glad I'm